Jeremiah 12. The first four verses begin with a prayer of Jeremiah, and then verse 5 is the response of Jehovah to Jeremiah. Righteous art thou, O Lord, when I plead with thee. Yet, let me talk with thee of thy judgments. Wherefore doth the way of the wicked prosper? Wherefore are all they happy that deal very treacherously? Thou hast planted them, yea, they have taken root. They grow, yea, they bring forth fruit. Thou art near in their mouth and far from their reins. But thou, O Lord, knowest me. Thou hast seen me and tried mine heart toward thee. Pull them out like sheep for the slaughter and prepare them for the day of slaughter. How long shall the land mourn, and the herbs of every field wither, for the wickedness of them that dwell therein? The beasts are consumed, and the birds, because they said, He shall not see our end. And then the Lord responds, If thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with the horses? And if in the land of peace wherein thou trustest, they weary thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan, or in the wilderness beyond Jordan? Father, we do ask that this prayer of Jeremiah's and the word which you gave to him might have real application to us this day. We thank you, Father, for the problems that these prophets struggled with. For they relate so well to us and the things that we wrestle with. And now, Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that your word would give answer to our hearts as it points us to you. And this we do pray in thy name. Amen. Amen. In the past several days, I've had several discussions with several people about the area of cosmology. Now, cosmology is the study of everything in the universe. Not to be mistaken with cosmetology. Now, for you guys that might not be aware of what cosmetology is, it's what people who are going into the beautician field, the field of study that they take is called cosmetology. It deals with hair and fingernail polish and cosmetics. So, really, when a cosmologist who studies everything in the universe meets with a cosmetologist dealing with cosmetics, they generally talk about the makeup of the universe. No, okay. But really, we have had a number of discussions about the universe. People looking around the universe and wondering why. People looking at the world and wondering how come. People looking in the newspapers and really being blown away by what they're reading on the back page of the newspapers. The bizarrity of man is seen constantly. Maybe you saw this article. Sour toe soup is the latest rage, from Surrey, British Columbia. Sour toe soup is the latest rage at the Brownsville Marine Pub, and it has drawn the attention of health officials in this suburb of South Vancouver. You have to be tough to eat this, grinned Don Hansen, the pub's harbor master, as he sloshed down a bowl of chicken noodle soup containing a real human toe. I have no first-hand knowledge of how it came to be. So we'll have to take a look at it, said Larry Copeland, who is the health officer in that area. Captain Dick Stevenson, 58, a paddle wheel boat skipper who spends his winters in Surrey, said he imported the idea for the concoction from the Yukon Territory up in Alaska. It pretty near grossed me out the first time I saw a guy done it, he said. He said he started the tradition of downing a draft with an amputated toe in the sluice box saloon of Dawson City 15 years ago. The first pickled appendage, which he said he found in an old cabin, was swallowed accidentally by a miner. Since then, however, there have been no shortage of amputated appendages. Toe number 4 is now making the rounds in the Brownsville Marine Pub. Bizarre. So far, there have been no reports of ptomaine poisoning. But that remains to be seen. And so when you read the back pages of the paper, you find these bizarrities, the oddities of humanity. You read the middle section of the paper. And of course, perhaps you saw the article where there is now famine coming once again into Ethiopia, into Africa. And part of the reason is because for the last 30 years, the Sahara Desert has been moving southward at a rate of 12 miles per year. The desert is creeping. The desert is moving. And the land is becoming more and more arid and less productive. The desert is moving right down into the center parts now of Africa, causing all kinds of famine and starvation. And then you look at the front pages of the paper, and we read about the Palestinian problems. People being beaten, seemingly rather brutally. And the difficulty the Israelis are having trying to figure out what to do is the Palestinians will outnumber Israelis in Israel by the year 2020. Wondering, stymieing the experts at our State Department, perplexing the authorities at the United Nations, wondering how a peaceful solution can be reached. We read on the front page, yet another scandal rocks the church. And we wonder, how can these things be? Political problems, potential wars, scandals of all sorts, famines increasing, deserts growing, people swallowing soup with toes in them. And you just say, why? And sometimes you get weary. At least I do. Now, I think life is fantastic, but sometimes I get fatigued. I think life is wonderful, but sometimes I get wearied. Don't you? Reading the paper, observing the world, wondering why. And so too in the text that we're looking at this morning. Jeremiah was just plain pooped. He was weary. He was fatigued. He was tired. And he starts out in his prayer to the Lord, "Righteous art thou, O Lord, when I plead with thee. Yet let me talk with thee of thy judgments," or what you're doing. "Why does the way of the wicked prosper?" And he pours out his heart and he expresses his complaint. Lord, what's going on? You see, Jeremiah had reason to feel weary. He had reason to be tired. You recall back in chapter 1 how Jehovah came to Jeremiah and told Jeremiah that he was called and ordained even from his mother's womb to be a prophet to all the nations. That he was to be one who spoke with integrity and honesty. He was to root out, to pull down, to break up, as well as to plant and to build. And then he was told as the chapters progress, as we've been seeing, that the people would not be listening or responding to his ministry. And indeed, they didn't. This courageous prophet, Jeremiah, had the guts, or should I say, the fear of the Lord on his life in such a way that when the Lord commanded, he went into the temple. The temple area. When the temple had just been remodeled, when celebration and worship was ascending, as we talked about last week, there was a great convocation of people. And sacrifices were being offered, and the singers were singing, and the people were worshiping, or so it seemed. But Jeremiah spoke in the name of the Lord, saying, "Trust not in lying words, saying, 'The temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these.' Has God delivered you to do abominations and then stand in my house trusting these words?" At a time when everybody else was excited, Jeremiah came on the scene and said, "What's happening is not right. It's all outward. You're trusting in the temple, in the structure. You're trusting in the ministry rather than the master. You're looking at the temple of the Lord rather than the person of the Lord. Your lives aren't being changed. You have a great talk, but you have no walk. A lot of motion, but no real emotion." And he indicted the people boldly. Now, they didn't respond to his message. But as you'll see in your reading this week, they reacted against it rather brutally. In his own city, Anathoth, a community where priests and prophets lived, they were growing rather convicted of Jeremiah's prophecies, and they decided to kill him. They plotted against him and wanted to do away with him. They were going to kill him. Now here's Jeremiah, preaching when nobody's responding, sharing but nobody's receiving. In fact, they're reacting against him, out to destroy him. At this time, Jeremiah makes this prayer in chapter 12. He's weary. "Why are the wicked prospering? Why, and Lord, how long will the land be mourning? What are you doing, Lord?" And the Lord comes to Jeremiah and answers his questions with yet another question. And it's an important one. And in this question the Lord gives back to Jeremiah, there is tremendous help for me and for you when we feel weary with life, frustrated about life. The Lord says to Jeremiah, "If you have run with the footmen," verse 5, "and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? And if in the land of peace wherein thou trustest they wearied thee, how wilt then thou do in the swelling or the wilderness beyond Jordan?" A couple of things I want you to take note of. Three, in fact, here concerning this answer which God gives to Jeremiah at a time when he is feeling wearied. First, God revealed his future course. God revealed Jeremiah's future course. Secondly, God recognized his past accomplishments. God recognized Jeremiah's past accomplishments. And thirdly, God raised his present consciousness. God raised Jeremiah's present consciousness. First, God revealed his future course. Jeremiah, God is saying, if you're tired now, when you have run with the footmen, guys on foot that are running and racing, and you're feeling weary, what in the world are you going to do when the horsemen come on the scene? If you're weary now in a land of relative peace, what are you going to do when they take you beyond Jordan, as the Babylonians would do when they carried the people away into captivity? God is saying to his prophet Jeremiah, things are going to get heavy. And if you're weary now, what are you going to do when it really comes down? If you're tired now, how are you going to handle the real difficulties that I know are coming your way? Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulation. The Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust alike. Folks, you think you got it tough now. Man, just wait. What's coming your way is going to be infinitely more challenging than what you're facing today. God knows that to be so. And God is saying to Jeremiah, Jeremiah, listen, what you are contending with today is nothing in comparison to what's coming down tomorrow. Now, God, listen, does not promise to keep us from problems. This is where we as believers miss the mark so frequently. Well, I gave my life to you, Lord. Why am I now experiencing bankruptcy in my business? Why is there death in my family? Why is there divorce? Why do I have cancer, God? I gave my life to you. Why in the world are these things happening? God nowhere in the Scriptures, our Father nowhere even hints at that He is going to keep us from problems. Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulation. You will experience sickness and tragedy and disease and death and stress and strain. It rains on everybody, the just and the unjust alike. God will not keep us from problems, but what He does promise to do is be with us in problems. And what a difference that makes. That's the key. Maybe you're going through bankruptcy today. And God has not kept you from that, but He will be with you in that. You see, you would be going through bankruptcy anyway. If you weren't a believer, you would still be suffering that setback or experiencing that tragedy or dealing with that loneliness. Or feeling that physical infirmity, you would still have those things. But the difference is that God is with us in those things. You say, well, why does He allow us to go through them? Couldn't He, can't He stop them? Why is there divorce? And hurt? And pain and sickness. Couldn't He keep us from that? Well, a couple of things here. It is in problems that we can show His reality. When the world sees you go through problems and they see you make it through, it is then that they see Jesus Christ living in you, not in the time of prosperity. That just evokes jealousy. It's in the times of problems when they see His reality. The Lord will allow you to go through setbacks and problems just like your neighbor. Just like the unbeliever. So that they can see a contrast of how Jesus is real in you. That they can see His reality in the problems you're going through. And secondly, that it might prepare you for eternity. Not just see His reality, but prepare you for eternity. God is preparing you for the ages to come. And the troubles you have, and the disappointments that you feel, And the bummer experiences that you go through are all somehow shaping you and preparing you for the ages to come. Several years ago, one of my friends, or at least I thought he was, sitting over here right now, signed me up for the pear blossom. Talked me into it. And I thought, man, several weeks before the race was to be, I thought, I better go out and run. And so I put on my running shoes and shorts, and I took a run from my house in Jacksonville out by the Presbyterian Church, hung a left, and went up by the dump, an appropriate place. And this is true. As I was running in preparation for this race that Ross got me tangled up in, I found myself jogging along the road, and I was dying. My side was aching. The food in my stomach was working its way up, you know, and my sweat was breaking out on my brow, and it was just, I thought, you stink. You stink. And that's exactly what I was saying to myself. John, you stink. This, you're out of shape. You're not going to make it. This is ridiculous. And I thought that 5, 10, 12 times and uttered that, oh, this stinks. And right when I said that, after several times, I looked to my left, and there, running right next to me, was a skunk. And this skunk, I'm not kidding you, he ran right alongside of me for several hundred feet. This skunk just, and all the time I'm going, yes, Lord, I do stink. There's no, this is perfect confirmation of the way I'm feeling. It stinks, you know. And sometimes when we're running through life, you know, we feel like, man, I'm out of shape. I'm not doing well. This stinks. I stink. This is not good. And we wonder, why am I going through this? But you know what? I'm really glad I did make a couple of runs before that day, because it prepared me to at least survive the pear blossom that was coming several weeks later. Sometimes we think this stinks, but the Lord, man, is having us to know it's preparing us for the ages to come. Is there going to be trouble in heaven, John? Is that what you're saying? No. Tragedy? No. Then what? Challenges that are beyond our understanding. We will rule and reign with Christ throughout eternity. And so right now, some of the things that you're going through and dealing with, you think, man, it stinks, but know this. It's preparing you for eternity. Secondly, it's showing people His reality in your life. Secondly, notice not only God revealing His future course, that is, you're going to have troubles, Jeremiah, bigger troubles than you have presently. And indeed, as we read through this book, we will see that He did. He had big troubles coming His way. But secondly, God recognized His past accomplishments. God recognized Jeremiah's past accomplishments. Notice what He says. If thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with the horses? He is saying, Jeremiah, how are you going to handle the horses, the real difficulties when they come? But He is also saying here, you have run with the footmen. You are weary, but you have done it. And in acknowledging His past accomplishment, that is what you have done, Jeremiah, you haven't given up. You haven't pulled out. You haven't kicked back. But you have run with the footmen. I've seen you do it. And that is why I am now going to entrust you with even greater challenges that are ahead. Horses are coming. The challenges will increase greatly. But God here is acknowledging that Jeremiah did indeed run with the footmen. Sure, he was weary, but he didn't give up. He didn't pull out. He didn't kick back. He hung in there. And I think that it is important that we realize that if we are faithful in these challenges that are before us presently, God will give to us even greater challenges eventually, even here on this earth, in this life. Well, you say, I don't want challenges. I don't want the horses to come my way. Couple of thoughts. They're coming anyway. They're going to be here whether you want them or not. They're coming. Secondly, if you accept the challenge of this life and contend with the horses and not just the footmen, you will be rewarded eternally. Back to this aspect of being prepared for the ages to come. So God here is acknowledging, Jeremiah, you have run with the footmen. You're weary. And there's horsemen coming. But he is acknowledging Jeremiah's faithfulness in the question that he's raising. Thirdly, not only did God reveal his future course, that is, troubles are coming, and recognize his past accomplishment, that is, you have run the course thus far, but finally, he raised his present consciousness, and this is important. Jeremiah, I am raising your consciousness, your understanding about what's going on here. I am raising your consciousness, giving you insights, shedding light upon these questions that you asked me previously. First of all, God will not send the horses until you have first run with the footmen. That's comforting. That raises my understanding. God will not send the horses until I first run with the footmen. People say, I don't know how I would ever deal with it if I found out that I had leukemia. Before you have leukemia, God will send footmen your way to prepare you for what he knows is coming down the road. He will never suddenly thrust horses on you saying, good luck, but he will train you carefully. And he will send things your way presently that will help you deal with, get in shape for, be prepared to handle what he sees is coming. Please understand that. Perhaps the best illustration is several years ago in Wales, in the British Isles, there was a tragic train crash. And when they were going through the rubble of this train wreckage, among all the bodies that were pretty much mutilated, they came across one woman, and they saw that she was wrapped around something. They peeled her arms back, and there in her arms was a 2-year-old baby, perfectly preserved. And this little baby, in her mother's arms, her mother having taken the blow, was there with sort of a smile on her face, eating a bag of candy that the mother had still in her hand. And the workmen were amazed as they saw this little child just quietly eating on the candy. And they took the bag of candy away from her and began to lift her into a safer place. And she cried and screamed and wailed. She wanted her candy back. You see, at that age, at that time in her life, candy was more of a reality than the agony of the tragedy of losing her mom. She didn't understand that yet. She didn't comprehend that yet. She was just dealing with, I lost my bag of candy, not I lost my family. And God does that with us before he allows us to experience the agony of losing a mother. The agony of going through some heavyweight difficulty, he will first deal with us by taking away our candy. He'll train us. He'll prepare us. He knows the level of our maturity, and he is not a God who will give us more than we can handle, according to 1 Corinthians 10:13. He will never give you more than you can handle. He'll be training you along the way. And that is why the footmen come before the horses show up. That is why he takes away the candy sometimes, before we really realize the heavier things that come down in life. He's a faithful God, a wonderful Father, not insulating us from problems, but training us for the problems which He knows will come our way. Here, Jeremiah's consciousness was raised presently. He realized that God was training him, progressing him. Now, secondly, on this point, notice too that Jeremiah's past victory against the footmen, even though he was weary, he didn't collapse. Jeremiah's past victory is a future prophecy. Because Jeremiah made it through this present difficulty, he can rest assured that he's going to make it through the greater challenges that will come his way, because God is with him and God is faithful. Would you please take a moment, perhaps today, and think about what God has seen you through, times when you thought, I can't go on. I'm going to commit suicide, or I'm going to walk away from the Lord. I just can't go on in life. How you thought, I'm too weary of life to go on. I can't make it. And yet somehow, you're sitting here today. God has seen you through. Think about the obstacles that were before you that you thought were insurmountable. The challenges that looked impossible. And yet, God proved Himself faithful. You are here on this day, worshiping the Lord, alive, breathing, living. God has seen you through. And the past victory over the footmen is a prophecy of what is going to happen when the horses come our ways. He's going to see us through. How do I know that? Biblically, because He says, fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will hold thee in the right hand of my righteousness. Isaiah 41:10. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he who hath begun a good work in you shall complete it. Romans 8. What shall separate us from the love of God? Neither height, nor depth, nor principality, nor power, nor things present, nor things to come, shall be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. You're going to make it. You've made it thus far by His grace and because of His faithfulness. You're here today. And that is a prophecy that He's going to see you through all the way. That's a promise. Would you think back, sisters, to the time that you were crying on your pillow when that relationship soured and broke up and didn't work out and you thought, I just can't live another day. Maybe some in here are going through that right now. But many of you have gone through it and say, praise God, I didn't end up with that bum. Or, if it was the tragedy of divorce, praise God that He saw me through that painful time and I'm going to be okay. Think of the time when you were weeping on your pillow, gals or guys, thinking, I just can't go on. Guess what? You did, because He lives. Think of that time, guys, when you thought, man, the bills are just never going to get paid. I'm going to end up in jail. It's over. I'm going to the penitentiary. But somehow you're sitting here right now. I don't see striped clothing on too many of you. Well, there's a couple shirts out there I see. He saw you through. You made it by His grace. And all of the events and experiences of life are just preparing us for what He sees. Not what He is bringing, but what He is seeing will be coming our way. He's faithful. Jeremiah. Oh, you're complaining about this now, Jeremiah. But if you're weary now, how are you going to handle the horsemen, the horses, when they come in your direction? Think about it, Jeremiah. Don't react against me. But realize, Jeremiah, that I lovingly am training you for what I see is coming down the road. That I lovingly will see you through, even as I have done in the past. Jeremiah, you're going to make it. And indeed he did. What then should we do? When we're weary with life, reading the papers, dealing with problems, when you just want to check out and give up, when you're weary, Jesus stood up and said to His followers, which is us here today, "Come unto Me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Isaiah thundered in chapter somewhere, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Coming to the Lord. Waiting on the Lord. Jesus said it. Isaiah declared it. And we have experienced it. When we're weary, there's only one thing to do. Follow the example of Brother Jerry. Go to the Lord. Pour out your heart. And let Him remind you of how He's seen you through in the past. And He'll see you through in the days to come. He really will. Let's pray. Father, I know that certain people are presently feeling the same feelings that Jeremiah is expressing. Feeling weary. But Lord, we are here today to do what You told us to come to You and learn of You. And You told us we would find rest in our souls. Father, I thank You that even as I have been sharing this study, that I feel encouraged and refreshed. And I know that as many have looked at this passage and given thought to Your word, that they too are experiencing right now refreshment in You. Thank You for loving us enough, Lord, to train us for what You see is coming down in this life. Thank You for not just thrusting us against the horses before You first train us against the footmen. Thank You, Father, that in this life You have prepared us faithfully, beautifully, for the rain that comes down on the just and the unjust alike. And I would pray, Lord, that as we go through difficult times, wearying times, that, Lord, those that live by us and work with us would see in us the reality of Jesus Christ as we experience a peace that passes understanding. Please, Lord, may this congregation this week be a powerful witness and testimony of your reality. May we embrace the difficulties that come our way as being preparatory. Help us not to give up, to turn back. Father, help us to embrace the things that you allow to come into our lives for our good.